series sermon number 5. And so we want to look at that. We want to go to the book of Exodus, the 8th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And so we missed this last Sunday, and Brother Robert did a wonderful job filling in for me. We thank the Lord for Brother Robert here at the church, and he filled in for me last Sunday. So we're going to kind of pick up a little bit here a little bit. Slavery to Freedom series sermon number 5. Pharaoh and the Frogs is the title of my message today. Pharaoh and the Frogs. And so we have been doing a study in the book of Exodus, and we've been studying a little bit of how that God began to move upon Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, which is God's people. And so through this, there are things that are taking place. There is a is about to, or has been, and will be taking place as we study this and as we look at this. And so today we're going to be looking at the frogs that took place in Pharaoh and in this time of what took place in their lives. And so let's look at this in Exodus 8 and 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses. And he said, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all of your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house and into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants." And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, "Stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the water of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." Verse 9, "And Moses said to Pharaoh, Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." So he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frog shall depart from you, from your houses and from your servants and from your people. They shall remain in the river only." And then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the courtyards and out of the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed to them as the Lord had said. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to know today that this is going to be a story of how the second plague began to take place. The first plague was, remember, in chapter 7 of Exodus, there was blood that was in the rivers. There were blood that was in the ponds. There were blood in the water. There was blood that nobody could drink of. And it went on and on and on because Pharaoh would not let God's people go. And so now we're in Exodus, the 8th chapter, and now we see that there is a second plague and there is frogs. Now you may ask me today, "Pastor, why did God allow the frogs to come across this land? Couldn't he have used fire? Couldn't he have used hail? Couldn't he used other means? Why did he do frogs? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I don't think scholars really have the answer why he allowed frogs. But I want you to know today that God was still working with Pharaoh in saying, "Let my people go." Now, I want to relate this to you today. Sometimes you may feel like that there are things going on in your life and you're saying, "God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why am I going through what I'm going through?" And you may look and say, "Well, it seems like everybody around me is doing so much better than me. It seems like they've got everything they want. They're just prospering. And Lord, why is everything happening to me?" And you may feel like, sort of speak, that you've got frogs all in your life, that you just cannot get no relief. And I want to share with you today, through this passage of Scripture, that God has your back, that God sees exactly what you're going through. Understand this: God knows exactly and He understands what's going on in your life. What you have to realize, what I have to realize, is that we've got to stretch forth our faith and that we've got to believe. Sometimes we don't understand and we don't have all the answers about what's going on. You may say to me, "Well, Pastor, it's almost like one step forward and three steps back, and I can't understand. I can't seem to ever get ahead in life. I can't seem to just wrap my hand around what's going on." I want you to know today that it is for us to completely trust the Lord in all things. Not some things. Not things that you want God to handle that you think that you can handle. You may want to give it to Him, and that the things you can't handle, you want Him to handle it as well. We must continuously trust and put forth our faith and say, "Lord, I completely trust You, Lord, with my circumstance. I completely trust You with everything that's going on in my life." I want you to know today, as we see this passage of Scripture of frogs that are going everywhere because Pharaoh will not let God's people go, Moses was persistent as he began to plead with Pharaoh. And remember now, through all of this, God said, "Moses, I will harden his heart." So don't be rejected because he's going to say no. In other words, God says, "I still want you to go." And even though we may see things in life and we want to throw our hands up and we want to quit, listen, it is never for us to throw our hands up and quit, because God is in control. This world may be out of control, but God is in control and He sees what's going on. The enemy is nothing but a liar. He's the father of lies. He's going to discourage you. He's going to tell you you can't move on, you can't do this, you can't do that. But I want you to know God is there, and we must be persistent in our faith and stay hold to God and say, "God, have Your way," so that God can strengthen you and I day in and day out. Because it's not for us to look with the natural eye, but it's to look within our heart, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in our hearts and He will move as He sees fit, as He will move, and we're to trust and obey and walk in His way so that we will be obedient and that we will eat the good of the land. I want you to know today, as Moses said, he had a message from God. He kept faithfully declaring God. He kept saying, "God is saying, let His people go. God is saying, I need you to let His people go." He began to let Pharaoh know, "Let my people go that they may serve me," was what Moses had said. Pharaoh had rejected God's command once again. In other words, the plague of the frogs began to take place. It's almost like when he saw the blood, he was ready to let God's people go, but then he reneged and said, "No, I'm not going to let them go." So when God saw it, then the plague came of the frogs. There were frogs in the ovens. There were frogs in the house. There were frogs on the street. There were frogs in the water. No matter where they went, they were frogs everywhere in their life. And the Bible clearly says in Exodus 8 and 2, says, "But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs." So there was abundance of frogs everywhere. And they would be in your house. They will be in your bedroom. They'll be all among the servants. They'll be in the ovens. They'll even be in the bowls while you're fixing your food. There'll be frogs there. And again, they begin to deal with frogs. Pharaoh ignores the warnings of Moses. And Aaron lifts up his rod and the plague begins. If we ignore what God is trying to do for our lives, there are things that come in our lives. There are things that God tries to do to get our attention. Here was a point where that God was trying to get Pharaoh's attention. And yet he saw the blood. And yet he saw all the frogs. But yet he still did not want to budge. He still did not want to allow God's people to come from out of Egypt and begin to serve God Almighty. Listen, there are times that things will come your way, and it's not for you to shake your fist at God. It's not for you to throw in the towel and quit, because God is trying to get your attention. God's trying to get our attention, and yet when there's things that come our way, it's not for us to stop, but it's time for us to kneel down and pray and say, "God, have your way in my life. Search me, Lord. Find me, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in my life." As the psalmist David began to pray, he says, "Lord, search me. You know me inside and out," so that we can fully surrender and walk in favor with God. There are times, if you're not careful, you will walk out of the favor of God. And there are times that you will go on your own presumptuous way. God is not a God with a billy bat making you do anything in your life. He gives you a choice, just as He gave Adam and Eve a choice at the beginning of Genesis of the Word of God. He gave them a choice to be in the garden. And He told them, and He gave them, and gave them a plan. And the plan was for them to live for God, to be like God, to walk with God, to talk with God. But there was a choice that Adam and Eve had to make in the garden. And of course, we know that the choice was not good. And now that we all of the world pays for that now because of the bad choice. But I want you to know today, God wants us to make the right choice. He wants us to make the right choice. And the right choice is not get within ourselves and act like we're going to do what we want to do, be what we want to be, say what we want to say, go where we want to go, but to fully surrender to God and say, "God, I want You to take charge of my life." Listen, we'll seek out all the pleasure. We'll seek out all the fame. We'll seek out all the glory. We'll seek out everything. But listen, the flesh, I want you to know today, we must walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because the flesh will destroy you and I. The Bible clearly lets us know that there were frogs everywhere. The Bible speaks of sin and its results in every area of our life. There are lessons to encounter when we look at the frogs taking over this area of Egypt. My first point today is this: the power of the magicians. Yes, the devil is there, and yes, he does have counterfeits. And yes, he does try to hinder us. And yes, he tries to get us off on the wrong road. And yes, he will do everything he can to keep us away from God. In other words, keeping you away from praying, keeping you away from your devotion with the Lord through the weekdays. Listen, it's not for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ just on Sunday morning or just Wednesday night. God wants a personal relationship with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He wants a personal relationship with you day in and day out. But I want you to know the enemy is there trying to kill, steal, and to destroy you and to devour you as much as he possibly can. So he doesn't want you to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we have to be careful who we are connected with. We have to be careful who we're tied up with. We've got to be careful. It doesn't mean that we're going down the right direction, but we've got to find out who we're connected with. We need to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ, because why? He says, my yoke is easy. My burdens are easy. We are to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, that He's got your back when you're yoked up with Him. Listen. The Bible says in Exodus 8 and 7, it says the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. So as God was bringing the frogs and the plague in Egypt, putting them in the ovens, putting them in the bowls, putting them on the street, putting them everything, putting them all over the place, the devil comes in with these magicians and they start casting the spells and start wanting to bring up frogs, and they begin to bring up frogs as well. You see, the devil tries to do what God's trying to do. You see what I'm saying? But here's the thing, he never wins. Listen, he can look like him, he may try to act like him, but I want you to know God is God, because God is almighty. The devil might be mighty, but God is almighty. And the devil has to go under God, because God is in full control. And I want you to know today, when the enemy tries to come in acting like he's something, he's not nothing, because he can't stand the Word of God. And when you begin to quote the Word of God, when you begin to pray in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you begin to claim God's promises and you claim the Word of God, he has to run and flee, because he cannot stand the Word of God. So here you have a wicked king, Pharaoh, calls his magicians in and says, I want you to start bringing in some frogs. Oh, so they started bringing in frogs. And they brought in so many frogs, and there were so many frogs in the land that guess what? They begin to set up a goddess of the frogs. They begin to worship the frogs because there were so many frogs. There were frogs in the house. There were frogs on the outside of the house. There were frogs in the street. There were frogs all over the place. And they thought, well, let's do this, King Pharaoh. Let's just worship the frogs because we've got so many frogs. And so we'll just let this be a goddess of the frogs and we'll just worship the frogs. So they embalmed frogs and were placed in their temples because they had frogs running out of their ears. They thought they could just worship the frogs. But they didn't realize that there were so many frogs. You could only worship so many frogs. You could only go through the act of worshiping frogs because they had frogs growing out of their mouths, their ears, their eyes. They had so many. So they realized that, wait a minute, there's something else to this. We just can't worship this frog and these frogs because these frogs are pretty much consuming us. It's taking over the land. And so Pharaoh, the magicians, were called to get rid of the frogs. They had so many frogs, they thought they would enchant and say, let's worship the frogs, but the frogs were so many that they had to get rid of the frogs, and they could only bring only but more frogs. And like experts trying to solve today's problems, people can do many, many things. They can build beautiful houses. They can split the atom and travel into space. They can discover miracle with drugs to cure our ills. Still, our most perplexing problems still remain today. Even learning but missing the truth. What do you mean, Pastor? What I'm saying is this. Everybody else is trying to reach for something else to help them cope in life. You've heard me say it, and I will say it again. People are snorting it up. People are shooting it up. People are boozing it up. They're doing everything they can to get away from life and all of the reality of the situation that they're in. And yes, they may get rid of it for one day, but the next day it's right back again. They've got the same problem. They never got delivered from it. They never got healed from it. But I want you to know today, when you get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will deliver you. He will save you. He will heal you. He will make you whole, and He will completely set you on a solid rock, a firm foundation, where that when the winds come and the storms come, it will not shake or rattle your situation, because you will be in Christ Jesus, because He is the rock. He's the victory in our hearts, in our lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know in 2 Timothy 3:7. The Bible says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You hear about it all the time. You know you need to live right. You know you need to do right. You know that you need to keep your heart before the Lord. You know that there's things that you deal with in life that you're to give it to the Lord. You know this. And yet, you're ignoring it. See, the Bible says it's better for you not to know the way than to know the way and lose your soul. God is holding all of us, including your pastor, accountable because of all the things that we have heard and all the things that we have either accepted or we've either rejected. And there are times that God gets our attention, and sometimes it's the flat of our backs. And I don't know about you, but I don't want it to be where God has to get my attention while I'm in the hospital or while I'm on my deathbed. I want to be where I can communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ while I'm alive, while I'm well, and while I'm able to have my faculties, and while I'm able to move around. I don't want it to be that I'm on my death doorbed calling out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Scripture here says clearly, people know the truth and they ignore it. Just as it says here in the Bible, it says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. The Bible clearly lets us know that it is not for us to hear the truth and walk away from it. James says it's like a mirror. When we look at ourselves and when we walk away, we forget what we look like. But we must look into the heart of ourselves and know that we are to act on the truth. Because the Bible says the truth shall set you free. My second point today is this: the procrastination that Pharaoh gave. The procrastination of Pharaoh and what he gave. Listen to what happened here in Exodus 8:10. So he said, look at this word, he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So in other words, Pharaoh said, man, I've got frogs running out of my ears. I got frogs running through my land. I got frogs in the house. I got frogs in the pan. I got frogs in the oven. I've got frogs in the rivers. I got frogs everywhere. And so Moses says, do you want me to pray and talk to the Lord about what's going on so that He can cause the frogs to dry up? And what did Pharaoh say? He didn't say today. He said tomorrow. Folks, I want you to know today is a day of salvation if you harden not your heart. It is not about tomorrow. It's not about next week. It's not about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come to know the Lord Jesus next week. And when I give altar call today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not for you to say, no, I'll wait till next Sunday. Next Sunday may not come, folks. Next Sunday may not come. Tomorrow may not come. This may be our last day. This might be my last sermon that I preach. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we are not to be like Pharaoh and say, well, tomorrow you can pray to your God tomorrow and then get him to dry everything up. Listen, he procrastinated. Moses is called and asked to pray. And even ungodly people know who walks and talks with God. Listen to me today. People are watching your life. People are watching my life. They know whether you're godly or ungodly. They know if you're living the life. Listen, Pharaoh acknowledged that only the Lord could help, but he kept saying tomorrow. Talk to God tomorrow. In other words, give me one more night of the frogs. Give me one more night of everything that I'm having to deal with, and maybe tomorrow you can talk to God. See, Moses asked when he should pray, and the strangest reply was, Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Pharaoh wants one more night with the frogs. He is like all who put off coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll do it tomorrow. Pastor, I can't do it today. I can't accept Jesus today. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Today, as the Bible says, today is a day of salvation if you harden not your heart. Today is a day. 2 Corinthians 6:2, the Apostle Paul writes, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. And behold, now it is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It is to get right with God, folks. That's the most important thing. You know, there's a lot of people that deal with sickness and diseases, and cancer is on the rampage, as we see in a lot of forms and a lot of things. And there are people that will pray for healing in their body, but they've never made a profession of faith to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's the world which we live in today, folks. People want to be healed, but they don't want to accept Jesus Christ. And folks, I want you to know, through all the healings that Jesus did, he was wanting to make sure that they knew him personally, that they knew him in a mighty way, so that not just being healed physically, but they would be healed spiritually. And folks, that's where we're at today. This world needs to be healed spiritually. Yes, there is sicknesses that go on, and yes, God heals. But God also wants us to come to know him, that we would have salvation, that we could receive salvation, that Jesus died on the cross, bled and died for us, that we may accept the Lord Jesus Christ. My third point today is this, the prayer of Moses. Exodus 8:12 says this, and then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the words of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses and out of the courtyards and out of the fields. I want you to know today how important it is through the power of prayer. You never give up on your friends. You never give up on your loved ones. You never give up, because the power of prayer changes things in our lives. When you still don't see things happening in your life and you don't seem to think that God's not moving, I want to encourage you today, God is moving. He is wanting us to continue to call out on Him. He's continuously wanting us to praise Him. He's continuously wanting us to take the circumstance of the situation to Him, that we are not to stop praying. Because of Moses and Aaron's prayers that begin to take place, then the frogs begin to dry up. Moses cried to the Lord. He was specific in his prayer. Because of the frogs, Yet the mighty God began to act in a mighty way. The question would be, does your problems seem to be difficult, too difficult to solve? God answers prayers. And the plagues that you may deal with in life and the circumstance and the situations that go in your life, it is not there forever. It is not meant to be there forever. It will release and it will go away from you. Exodus 8 and 13 in my closing. So the Lord did according to the words of Moses, and the frogs died out of the house, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. In Exodus 8 and 15, after the frogs departed, the Bible says, when he began to see the frogs depart, Pharaoh's heart hardened even more. You see, he was under pressure because of all the frogs. He was under pressure because of all the blood. But when it got where it was, they were dying out, they were drying up, his heart hardened in Exodus 8 and 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed to them as the Lord had said. I want you to know today that after the problems are all over, many will forget God. They harden their hearts to His Spirit. Remember how God met you in your crisis. I want you to hear me today. Remember how God met you in your crisis. How that God provided for you. How that God took care of you. How that God brings provision unto you. How that He keeps His hand upon you. But when you go out of the blessings of the Lord, and when you go out from the Lord, and when you go on your own presumptuous ways, and when you do your own thing, you're going to do it when you want to do it, how you want to do it, where you're going to do it. Remember, there is calamity that will come your way. There are things that will come your way that will rock your boat. Why? Because you walked out of the will of God and you wasn't in the will of God because you went on your own way. Just as Pharaoh hardened his heart, he felt like, well, now the frogs are gone, the blood is gone, now I'm going to be king of Egypt and I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen, God will allow you to do what you want to do, but there's a price to pay. And there are things that you're going to go through in life. I don't know about you, but I want to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ, that when things come my way, I can call on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll hear my cry. He'll hear my plea, and He'll take care of me. Why? Because I've been communicating with Him day in and day out. I've been praying with Him. I've been in devotion. I've been doing my part. And I've always said, when you do your part, that's when God begins to do His part for your life. Because He doesn't want you to call on Him when you're in a time of calamity and need. God wants a personal relationship with you day in and day out through the years, because God is there and He's ever there in interceding for you and us. Listen, we need to respond to His tender pleads. Without delay, we need to respond. Remember how God got you out of a circumstance, of a situation. Remember how God is faithful to you and I. Oh, He loves us. Oh, He's faithful. Even when we forget to pray, even when we forget to read our Bible, even when we forget to have a devotion with Him, God still loves us. He's not thrown us out and hung us up to dry. He is still there. Why? Because His mercies are ever interceding. His mercies endure forever. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're faced with. It doesn't matter. God loves us. And God is, we are His sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're in the palm of His hand. He sees exactly what you and I are going through. But let it not be that we'll act like Pharaoh and harden our heart. Today is a day of salvation if you harden not your heart. I've always said that when I've given altar call, I've always said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't vex the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today to come to an altar of prayer, I encourage you today to come to an altar of prayer. If you would stand with me across the building today. Listen, today is a